think about that for a minute. Because every one of those words was pregnant with thought, answerable to amendment of life. Now, we just had an election this past week. And so we all know what amendments are. That's where they add to the Constitution. But how many of you know not every amendment that Congress writes is an improvement? That's so true. Sometimes the amendments that get written are actually not an improvement, but they make things worse rather than make things better. But in this margin of my Bible, it said that John the Baptist said to the people, bring forth fruits answerable to amendment of life. So I looked up what Brother Webster had to say about the word amendment back in his original dictionary in 1828. So I looked up in the original Webster's 1828 dictionary, because modern dictionaries can sometimes, in updating the meaning of words, they can lose the essential meaning. And what was written in the margin of my Bible was based on the essential meaning of the word amendment, or to amend. So Brother Webster said this: amendment is an alteration or change for the better. Everyone say, change for the better. It went on to say, a correction of faults or reformation of life. So the word amendment means to correct the faults in your life and your life to undergo a change for the better. Now let's go back to the banks of the Jordan River. John the Baptist says, when he sees the Pharisees coming, he knows that those guys never admit their own sin, but they're immediately right there to point out everybody else's sin. They're right there to editorialize on the social sins of the day. And sometimes we can get caught up into doing that, can't we? But when you're standing at the banks of the Jordan River, it really, the Lord is not interested at all in if you can identify the sins of society or other people's sins. He's interested in what you have to say about yourself. It's all about you at that moment as you stand before the river. And so John the Baptist is standing in the water, and he says to the Pharisees, you brood of vipers. They had some tough preachers back in those days. You brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee the wrath of God's judgment against disobedience that's coming? He said, bring forth fruits answerable to amendment of life. What he was saying to the Pharisees, or let me put it to you as a question. What, when John the Baptist said to the Pharisees, bring fruits answerable to the amendment of life, and he's standing in the water and hundreds and thousands of people were coming in, and he's saying that to the Pharisees, what was John the Baptist doing? What was he doing there? Make your mind think for a moment. What was John doing, calling the people, bring fruits answerable to the amendment of your lives? Well, I could probably take a poll. I'm sure we could probably get a couple answers, and I'm sure that probably all of you would come up with stuff that was accurate, probably true. Preaching a message might be one of your answers, or calling the people to repent might be something you would say. And you wouldn't be wrong if you said those things. But if you go to the context of the Bible to answer the question, what was John the Baptist doing when he said, bring fruits answerable to the amendment of life? The Bible tells us that he was preparing the way of the Lord. Everyone say, prepare the way of the Lord. So Jesus was about to arrive on the scene, and he was preparing to bring the people to Jesus. So if you're preparing to come to Jesus, you want to know, what does it mean, bring fruits answerable for amendment of life? Let me say that one more time so that you get this. This is the jumping off, this idea is the jumping off place into this message. So if you stand squarely on this understanding and leap into this message, you'll get where we're going. To prepare the way of the Lord, John the Baptist said, bring fruit answerable for amendment of life. And do not say within yourself, Hey, we're the offspring of Abraham. Hey, we're born again Christians. Hey, we're members of Faith Christian Church. Or, hey, I've been saved for 20 years. Or, hey, I own a Bible. Hey, I pray. Don't come saying what you have been or what you have done. Instead, bring fruits, bring decisions, bring actions, bring things out of your soul that will answer the amendment of life. Because not everything answers the amendment of life. And so John was preparing the way of the Lord by helping the people, even the Pharisees, to understand what it means to bring things answerable to change. Not everything changes. Notice he says answerable. Bring things, fruit answerable. Sometimes when you and I come to God, we take a position as we're praying. My position is that I'm a Christian. I've been saved. I'm this, I'm that. But not everything that you bring to God answers the amendment of life. Some things that you and I argue before the bench of heaven, some things that you and I have in our mind when we come before God needing an answer, will never get an answer. They will not answer God who is wanting to amend your life. Now let me just pause and put a clip on that for 1 second. Hold that thought. Let me say to you, if John the Baptist was preparing the way of the Lord, then the way of the Lord is to change you in order to change your life. Let me say that again. The way of the Lord was not to change your life, but to change you. And that is how your life changes, is to change you. God doesn't always, nor can He always, change everything about your life that's going on around you. And one of the things the Old Testament taught us was that even if everything was changed so that everything favored you, your life would still be unhappy and poor, because the real problem in life was not that you are in poverty or that you're sick or that people don't like you or that you're not understood by everyone, but the real problem in life is sin or you. So the way of the Lord was to amend you. That was the way of the Lord. So John the Baptist said, Jesus is about to show up and it's gonna get hot in here. Hallelujah. Jesus is gonna show up and He's gonna bring grace. He's gonna bring forth grace. But not everything you people are saying is answerable to grace. So I need to get you on the right page. I need to get you in the right frame of mind. The Lord's gonna come, He's gonna talk grace to you. Moses came to you and he talked law. Moses came to you and he diagnosed your condition and he gave you a written diagnosis called the law. And what did that diagnosis say when you were in Dr. Moses' office? You're a dead man. You're a dying woman. You're terminal. You have sin and there's nothing we can do. You're going to die. Now, you may have weeks, days, months, years. According to this law, you could do your best to try to live healthy, but you're ultimately going to die from this condition that you have called sin. That was the law. So John the Baptist was saying, Moses has been talking to you and he's been diagnosing your condition, but the Lord is about to come down from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, and he's going to talk grace to you. The law came, according to John's Gospel, chapter 1, the law came from Moses, but grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. And so, hallelujah, the Bible says, of His fullness, Jesus, have we all received grace for grace. For the law came from Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So at the Jordan River, he's trying to turn the people into the right frame of mind so that they could receive the grace of God. And so what we say to God when we come to Him will either be answerable to amendment of life, or it will be something that God ignores because there is no answer to it. And what I want to share with you this morning is the difference between things that are answerable to amendment of life and things that are not answerable to amendment of life. Because you want the grace of God, and if you're born again and everybody here this morning is saved, let me say good news today, hallelujah. God's grace did not leave you last week. God's grace is not going to leave you today. The Lord's grace is in you, hallelujah. But one of the great secrets of grace is, if I could use the term, and this would be the right place to use the term, grace is progressive. Grace is progressive. The Bible says, He giveth more grace. And John chapter 1 says it's grace upon grace. Grace is always progressive. The more you use it, the more you get. It increases within you. Grace is answerable to amendment of life. And so the word answerable, I think, is very significant. He challenges the people who come to the Jordan River. He says, whatever is in your mind as you're coming to this baptism, is it answerable to amendment of life? Because there's no use in you getting in these waters and preparing to meet Jesus if your heart is not open for change. So the word answerable is very important. When we get saved, God's asking us a question. Why are you coming to me? What do you want from me? If you say to the Lord, I'm a sinner and I need you, Jesus, I believe, then you are answerable to amendment of life, and that amendment takes place. That improvement, that change for the better happens. Not just one time, but it is installed. The amendment is installed in you, and for the rest of your life, you can come back to that fountain of grace and grow more and more and change more and more and more, and there's no ending to it. Hallelujah. But not everything is answerable to amendment or to change for the better. Certain things respond to change, and certain things cannot respond to change. And you have to sort out the difference. And so as your pastor, I want to help you to do that this morning. In the scripture that we opened up with in Matthew 3 and verse 9, the Pharisees were standing there. John has just said to them, bring fruit answerable to amendment of life. And then he continued and said, and do not presume to say to yourself. Now, that phrase to yourself means this is what you're thinking in your mind as you're approaching God. See, we can come and sing songs and make declarations and say things, and we can say, oh, I'm saying all the right things. I prayed the right prayer. I'm confessing the right scriptures. But God is listening to what our heart is saying. And so God knows the position that you've taken in your heart. When you think of yourself, or when you think of your situation, when you think of your marriage, or you think of whatever it is that's going on in your life, when you think of yourself, what position have you taken? How do you see yourself? That is what God says is either answerable or cannot answer to amendment of life. And so the Lord is sifting, and He needs you to be able to discern what will answer the opportunity to have your life amended and what will not answer that opportunity. So John the Baptist says, do not presume to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our forefather. He said, because I tell you that if it's all about just having descendants, God could turn these rocks into descendants of Abraham. Why did he say that? Because a rock cannot answer amendment of life. It's a rock. It's going to be a rock tomorrow. You could cut it, polish it, but it's what it is. It's always going to be what it was. And so he said, if you think that where you have come from matters to God when it comes to amending your life, you're saying and thinking things that are not answerable to amendment. You see, where you have come from, what you have been, or who you have been, or how you have been, cannot change. It cannot be amended. It's the past. How many of you know that when you got saved, the Lord did not rewrite your history. He covered it with grace. He covered it with the blood. He says, I have forgiven it and I've separated it. I've cut your history line, and what you were no longer matters. So here come the Pharisees and they say, well, we are the descendants of Abraham. But the grace of God is saying, I can't answer. I can't respond to that. That is not answerable to what I'm saying to you. Grace is saying to the Pharisees, talk to me about what can change. What do you bring to me that I can change? What are you saying to me that I can enter into? What are you offering to God that gives Him the ability to step into your life and truly bring amendment? See, there's some things we say to God that keep the door closed. We think that God's impressed, but there's nothing He can do with it. And to say to God, I'm a Baptist, the Lord says, that's not answerable to change. I'm born again. I got saved 13 years ago. That's not answerable to change. That's all history. That's filed away in the vault. So there's some things that can change and there's some things that can't change. Some things are answerable. The Pharisees, John the Baptist, rightly discerned where their heart was at. In their heart, as they approached the waters of baptism, in their mind, they said, our position is that we descended from Abraham. We have received the promises. We're all good. But the fact is, the baptism of John, in order to prepare the way of the Lord, wasn't about beating people concerning their sin. It was about putting them in the right frame of mind so that God could amend their life, so that God could improve, so that there could be change you could believe in, change that would really do something in your life. And God was saying, if you're thinking this way, I cannot change that. If you're holding on to the past, even the good past, and saying that endorsement of the past qualifies you for change today, it doesn't. It won't work. And so He's telling the Pharisees, don't hide behind your past. Don't hide behind where you've come from. You need amendment of life. So talk to me in language that I can answer. Speak to me in a way that I can answer. That's what the grace of God is saying. It's grace on grace or grace for grace. And so as I said before in John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, John writes, and from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, the thing about grace is that grace, the more you respond to it, the more it answers. The more you respond to grace, the more it answers. Hallelujah. When Jesus was talking about the parable of the talents, do you remember He gave some guy a couple talents and He gave another guy, or He gave one guy one talent, gave another guy a couple talents, and He gave another guy five talents, and He sent them out to multiply their talents. And He came back to reckon with them sometime later. The one guy that had the one talent hid it in the backyard. Do you remember that? And the Lord rebuked him. But the other two guys, the one who had the two talents, multiplied. I think it got four or five, ended up with four or five. And the one with the five talents ended up with 10. And the Lord said, that is excellent. You took the talents that I gave you, you multiplied them. So God is about multiplication. So John the Baptist is preparing us to come to the Lord. And He's wanting us to have a frame of mind that understands God wants to multiply you. Amendment of life is going to expand you. Amendment of life is going to make you to become a person that bears more fruit than you did before you came to Him. The new improved version of you under grace is a person who is increasing and multiplying. So in order to prepare the people for the way of the Lord, He is preparing them to be increase-minded. He's preparing them to be multiplication-minded. The thing the Pharisees said to John the Baptist or had in their mind when they came was not able to be multiplied. Who you are, where you've come from, God can't multiply that. It's where you're at right now today. What are you doing now? What are you doing with what you have? That is what God can speak change. That's what God can answer and bring abundance to. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So when Jesus was talking about the parable of the talents, and he said, take that one talent that the guy hid in his backyard away and give it to the guy who had 10 talents. It doesn't seem fair. In fact, if God were a communist or a socialist and he were trying to create an egalitarian society, he would say, okay, we have one talent and we've got a guy who had two and he's increased, he's got five, and a guy who had five, he's now got 10. So we've got 10, 5, 1. We had 16 talents and three guys. Give everyone five. Take the last one that's left over, divide it into three. We'll get this right down to as even as we can. And everybody will spread these talents out so that everybody gets the same amount of talents. You see, that's not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord does not take us and then like spreading butter on toast, just evenly spread and cover every corner so that everybody gets the exact same thing. No, God is not about fairness as man thinks of fairness. God is looking for people who will answer to amendment of life. He wants to see who are the people that want their life amended. Who are the people who want grace to raise them up to be more? Because not everybody does. Some people want to just be the sons of Abraham. Some people just want to be church people. Some people just want to be, you know, I'm saved and that's it. I've got my saved perspective on life. But there's other people who say, every day I want to be more. I want to be closer to Jesus. I want to grow. I want to multiply. And so grace is looking for those people. He's saying, answer me, speak to me so that I can multiply you. Hallelujah. So when the Lord was talking about the parable of the talents, people have often said, well, what were those talents? In his parable, was talents money or was talents a gift? Like, well, I have a talent for jumping high. Oh, I have a talent for talking fast. I have a talent, I could twiddle, look at this. Or I have a talent for music. Or, you know, people have different talents. So that was Jesus talking about taking your natural talents and multiplying them? I believe Jesus was talking about grace. The talents were the grace of God. I give to everyone the measure of grace. To each one is given the measure. And so, out of his fullness, grace and truth, he pulls out of his fullness and he gives grace to every one of us. What do we do with that grace? That is what the parable of the talents was all about. What do you do with the grace of God? Stay answerable. It's like the guy on TV. Stay thirsty, my friends. The Lord's not saying stay thirsty as much as he's saying stay answerable. When you come to me and you want my help, when you come to those baptism waters and you want to enter into the way of the Lord is saying, I want you to enter into the way of the Lord. I want to multiply you. I want to bless you. It glorifies me to be glorified through you. But I need you to be answerable to amendment of life. The way of the Lord is that you need amending. And if you ever forget that you need amending and you come to me and say, I'm cool, I'm saved, I speak in tongues, I got a Bible, I go to the right church. The minute you say that, grace stops multiplying you. It doesn't leave you, but grace stops growing. Your growth or your amending or your improving stops. Every time we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm coming to you in my marriage or in my relationship with my friends at work or whatever, they're just difficult people. And I sure wish you'd change them. They're making my life unhappy. Now, you probably say it much more religious. You say it in a way the Lord would never get the wrong idea about what you're saying. I'm sure you say it in a way that the Lord's like, that was so nice the way you said that. And I can't even figure out what you mean. I mean, I guess if I have to go based on your words and what you said, you must have no malice in your heart. And but how many of you know God knows exactly what's in your heart? You can doctor it up. You can say it any way you want. Because the Lord knows that when you come to Him, you really think, I'm not the problem, she's the problem. I'm not the problem, they're the problem. I'm not the problem, I'm not bad, I'm not wrong, they're bad, they're wrong. So Lord, change them. But what is the way of the Lord? It's amendment of your life. That's the way of the Lord. So when you come to God and He hears, even though your words may be religious, He hears in your heart, the problem's not me, Lord. I'm asking you to smite them and to grind them into dust and then send the wind to blow them out of my way. So when you come and the Lord hears that, what is He? And then, Lord, I will praise You. I will serve You. I'll tell you, I'll be such a servant of God because the enemy has been removed from before me. That enemy that makes me cuss. That enemy that makes me think wrong thoughts. That enemy that leads me into temptation. But God's answer for you is to work on that part of you that gets tempted. God's answer for you is to amend the part of you that sometimes your problem is that you're just too down on yourself. Sometimes you're falling off the path on the other side of the road. Every time the Lord wants to lift you up, you're not so much saying, well, I am an offspring of Abraham. You're saying, well, I'm the descendant of a bunch of outlaws and losers. My mom and dad have had a pattern. My family's had a pattern of making mistakes. And, you know, I thought I had escaped it in my 20s, but here I am in my 40s or my 50s, and I'm just falling into the same pattern my parents fell in. And God sees that when you're coming to Him, and grace is wanting to speak to you and help you and bring amendment of life, you're saying within yourself, I'll never be any better. I'm trapped in this. I'm a descendant of so-and-so. And John the Baptist would say to you, say not in your heart that I have the outlaws as my parents or as my father. Don't say that. Instead, come before the Lord and come before God and give God a response that He can answer. He can answer the heart that comes to Him and says, Lord, I come and I speak grace. I come and I thank You for Your grace. Grace tells me that I can be whatever You have called me to be. Grace tells me that neither Abraham nor the outlaws have to define my life. I come before You and Lord, I have been wrong in the way that I see myself, or I have been wrong in the way I've seen this situation. Help me. And I come to You, Lord, for that help. God says, grace. He speaks grace. That revelation, that word that you need to show you where to stand or what to do, God will bring that into your life. When you let His standard, His truth, He's full of grace and truth. When you let His truth be your standard, don't get hung up on the things that are not amendable, that are not answerable to amendment of life. Always know what will respond to amendment of life. Some of you this morning are stuck in some areas where you haven't been growing and you need to grow and you're feeling painfully cramped up in those areas of your life. And the problem is not that God does not want to bring you out of that tight place. It's not that God doesn't want to bring change or advancement. And don't ever believe the lie of the devil that where you're stuck at, that's as far as you're supposed to go as a Christian. Because God wants you walking on the high places. God wants you walking on the mountaintops. He's called you to be seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ. You know, not every day happy things are going to happen to you, but every day you should have the joy of the Lord. God wants you to have joy every single day. He wants you to be able to rejoice no matter what the happenings are. He wants you to be able to be happy. So don't ever settle for the lie that you're stuck at this level in your life or in your development. God always wants to bring improvement. So the issue is to answer answer the grace that will amend your life, that will make your life better. And so this morning, there may be an issue. There may be a situation in your life. You may even have been sitting there thinking about, well, I am kind of stuck in this rut. You may be stuck there because deep down in your heart and your thinking, you've taken a position that's not answerable to amendment of life. As long as you keep standing on that point or on that issue, you're not responding in a way that opens the door and lets grace come in. You're saying somehow or another, I hate to use the word, but excuse. You're giving an excuse somehow or another and saying, well, this is where I'm stuck at or this is what's happening. But the Lord says you don't have to let those excuses of the past hold you back. Come to me and know that grace is here to be poured out upon you, not once, not twice, but every single day and throughout your whole life. I want to grow you. I want to multiply you. I want to raise you up. Hallelujah. And so this morning, what is this message really about? It's about whenever you come to the Lord, whether you come together as church, as we are this morning in this house, or whether you are in your daily devotional or prayer class, or on your driving between home and work, you shut the radio off and you need to have a talk with Jesus. Some of you are old enough to remember the old song, Let Us Have a Little Talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our problems. When I was young and zealous and on fire, I thought, that's a stupid song. We don't need to be having a little talk with Jesus. We need to talk with him all the time. We need to be involved in deep, deep conversation. But the older I get, the more I realize, I'm grateful if some people just have a little talk with Jesus. You know, if we just had a little talk with Jesus once in a while, that at the right time or the appropriate time. So we're grateful. Hallelujah. You come to the Lord, you're driving in your car, you're in your devotional, you're at church, but whenever you come, you're standing at the banks of the River Jordan. Some people can get in the water, some can't. Are you one of those that can't get into those waters? You're not flowing in that transformation, that amendment of life. The reason why, the reason you're standing on the bank, the reason you don't feel the freedom to stand is you may not in your heart be speaking to God anything that is answerable to amendment of life. You may be holding back because you're staked out on where you've come from or what you've done, good or bad. It's not about the past. It's about right now. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, improvement, amendment of life can happen right now this morning, this very moment. You don't need to go back and rewrite history. You can't change it, but you can certainly respond to the Lord right now and give him something that is answerable to amendment of life. Close your Bible and stand with me this morning. It would be wrong to close in prayer and send you away to go have lunch. We could forget lunch, but we need to act on this word. Can you say amen? Amen? You see, God is a God of miracles. And he is here this morning. And he is always here in his miraculous grace. Everything about your life can change. The spiritual rut you may be stuck in. The argument you may be having with your spouse. The frustration you may be having over your own being, your own self. You feel stuck in life. The unhappiness, the uncertainty, wherever it is you're stuck at, everything about you, you can step into an improvement beginning today. You can step into change beginning today. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to open this altar up to lay hands on people. Heavenly Father, I pray for every man and woman, every young person today, every senior in this congregation. And I pray, show us if there is in us a thought, an idea that we are holding on to that is not answerable to amendment of life. Show us so that we may have the freedom to step in to the way of the Lord, to enter into the way of the Lord. Because grace and truth, hallelujah, came through Jesus. Everything that the law paralyzes us with, Jesus frees us from. And I thank you for that freedom today. in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If Pastor Terry and I can pray for you this morning, I'll lay hands on you. Terry may be speaking the word only. He'll lay a hand on you. Hallelujah. If we could pray for you, please come. And we'll lay hands on you and pray for you. If there is an issue, a thing between you and God, it can stay private just between you and the Lord. But before you leave this church, you want to lay that thing on the altar of God. This is an altar of decision. Hallelujah.